Hey, welcome to the Do Not Don't Shit on the Bus podcast, episode 4. I am Adam Amakayas, and on the line all the way from Orlando, Florida, we have Neil Westfall. What's up, Neil?
What is up? My name is Neil Westfall, and I'm from Orlando.
I think we're just going right into it today.
Yep, might as well. This is the second time. It's not new territory for us.
Yeah, we've done it.
Oh, shit. We weren't going to talk about it.
All right. We recorded this podcast once before, except we had technical difficulties. So here we are again doing the same thing, but 2 days later.
Because we are professionals.
Yeah.
And even sometimes professionals mess up. And when you mess up, you still have to fix it.
You own up to it. You make it right. And you move on. Hey, we did it. It doesn't matter that we did it once. We're doing it again. So we're well practiced.
It's going to be double as good.
Double as good. Speaking of practice, between the last time we recorded a podcast, not the time we messed up, but last week's podcast and this podcast, we did another podcast called Drinks with Johnny, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Drinks with Johnny.
That was Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold. And I don't know. How'd you feel it went?
It was awesome. Lots of stories. We figured out that him and I are very similar as far as in our travels, we both visited adult establishments often.
Yes.
And sometimes he's been kicked out of them.
Yeah. We found some similarities and some comparing and contrast, and he did a pretty good job. Like when he hit us up originally, I was like, well, you're an Avenged Sevenfold and there's no day to remember and I take pictures, so I don't know how I fit into this. But if you want to have us on as our new podcast guest, we're down. And he did a very good job interviewing both of us. I thought he did a really good job.
A great amount of research.
Yes. I felt included. And I think that, you know, I feel like your guys' interactions were a bit more organic and mine was a little bit more new territory for him. And I think he did a really good job.
He even had a gold microphone. Maybe that's what our podcast is missing, is we both need gold microphones.
Do you know anybody with the Midas touch?
excuse me, sir. Could you please just come to my house and just only touch the microphone, please? Actually, you could touch anything you'd like, just not me.
Okay. Patreon. Thank you so much to our new patrons. And our patrons are people who sign up to basically send us a little bit of money every week, every time we release a podcast. And we appreciate you because we have no source of income on this podcast. So it means a lot.
It really does. And it means that you like what we're doing. And that's a really good feeling.
Yeah, it's like every time somebody signs up, I'm like, wow, thank you.
A little bit of dopamine gets released.
Yeah.
And I'm a little happy.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Like, this means a lot. So if you want to come hang out, support us, it's going to be more and more beneficial the deeper we get into this podcast. But if you start early, it helps us a lot. We appreciate it.
The newest members are Alex Shelnut, who plays drums in my band, and he is one of the best friends entire life. Kaylee, Shelly, and Christina.
Thank you to our 4 new patrons. We are now at 11. Next week, hopefully, I'm hoping we're at like 15 next week, maybe 16.
I hope we're at 22.
22. All right. 22 mm-hmm. next. If we're at 22 next week, what will you do?
I will say, okay, so how many names did I say this week? So I will say 11 people's names next week. That's all what
right.
I'll do.
We'll say your name. That's right. No matter what you do on Patreon, we'll say your name on our podcast. The lowest, the highest, whatever you want. Come support us. They're cheap. It's fun.
I think it's worth the $1.82 just to have your name said on a world famous podcast. This podcast is on Spotify and Apple and every other location podcasts are located.
I feel like we need a tagline that says number one podcast about touring in the whole world.
Yeah, exactly. That is such a great idea. The number one podcast with the word shit in the title.
This week's topic is networking. We're going to talk about networking in the music industry specifically because networking is the language and the way we navigate this industry.
It is the way that the majority of people get, find, keep work and social interactions.
Yes. We realize that before we can teach you more advanced or in-depth things, we kind of got to go through the basics. And networking is kind of weird because it's not something you like think, right, Neil? It's not like you're not like, oh, I'm going to go out networking today. I mean, sometimes you do, very few times, but it's just something that kind of happens while you do your job and your life and everything. And we're going to talk more specifically pertaining to the music industry, but it just happens effortlessly. All right, in one sentence, Neil, how would you, in your own words, describe what networking is? Somebody's never heard of it. They're like, what is that? You keep saying I should network, but what is that?
Basically, the internet in real life. Now, okay, so one sentence, networking, a web of people or connections that you can use to gain work or, I don't know, fuck, something like that, you know?
So we have an official definition, and luckily I looked it up online, and it's networking, the action or process of interacting with others to exchange information and develop professional or social contacts. contacts. I don't know why I missed that last word.
Contracts could also make sense, though.
It's applicable in almost every career, I feel like, and more important than some than others. But I don't know. I always thought it was like a music world thing, but it's not.
I think it's like it is 100% necessary in most industries. I would expect probably the most important in this industry, because there is no like in other industries, you have like an office or a place of work and all these things. Mm-hmm. Whereas in music, it's like you have to go to these events, or you go and work or do something for someone and you meet someone. And then you have that contact, and you have to utilize that contact, because there's no place you can just go to find.
Yeah, like concerts are the place, huh?
You have to network. Like it is the backbone of the music industry, I feel like.
Yeah. No, I think you're correct. It is the backbone. And I think that a lot of people, you know, when we're trying to figure out the order of these podcasts, I think it's important to have this one early, because a lot of people will be doing whatever they're doing and they're really good at it. And they're like, what's the missing piece? Why am I not furthering my career? And that's because you can't get anywhere alone in this industry. It's all about working with other people and helping each other out and kind of growing together. It's a community vibe. Like you're better together. It's not, I'm the best, I'm going to do better than everybody, see how far I'll go. You can't get anywhere alone.
Why would you want to go anywhere alone? It's
that's not even boring. Fun. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think that as I have come up in this industry, the only reason that a data member is where we are is because of who we know.
Yeah.
And who we've met, and who's willing to go out on a limb and kind of co-sign us and say, yeah, these guys are hardworking, they're great.
Take you to the next step, take you to the next level.
The reason we even got the Blink-182 tour is because Kevin was reaching out to Travis from Blink-182 about Famous Stars and Straps. They became friends through that connection. And then whenever we were in LA doing interviews and kind of doing like press stuff for an upcoming album that we were recording, we went out to dinner at Travis's restaurant. He came there, and
I
we
was
were
with
like,
you.
Yeah, we were like, yeah, exactly. You remember it. We were just like, hey, we'll play these. You have some shows coming up on your return to being a band. We'll play them for free. He's like, you'll play those shows for free? And we're like, yeah, we just want to play with you guys. We would love to play with you. He's like, okay, cool. I'd love to have you guys play. And then because of that dinner, we got on those shows. And because our bands work so well together, we got an entire tour. Then I met my wife. Now we're having a child. Networking is great.
Networking made your baby.
It's so important. I can't tell you. The world wouldn't have new people if it wasn't for networking.
And that's a great example to start us off. And we've got tons of examples, and we're going to walk you through how it works. I know Neil just kind of gave you the quick run through of how, you know, a really good example of how it worked for him, but we'll kind of break it down because it could seem like a lot. But before we get into it, Neil, we wanted to talk about one thing, anxiety.
Anxiety. Oh, yes.
Anxiety is going to hit
anxiety
you.
Anxiety is what kills a lot of networking opportunities, because a lot of times people that deal with social anxiety or anxiety in general, they won't even go to those. They won't even get into those situations where networking is possible.
Yeah.
And I think the key is to understand you can't let anxiety overwhelm you, because everyone feels anxiety. Maybe some feel it more than others. And I know it helps me to think about this. And I obviously deal with anxiety differently than, like, let's say Adam deals with anxiety. But you got to just remind yourself that we're all out here trying to do the same thing. We all want to further whatever it is that we're trying to work on, whether it's our social contacts or our career. As long as you understand that everyone's out here trying to do the same thing, there's not really much to worry about, because we're all just humans trying to further what we're doing.
And like Neil's saying, and anxiety is something that is the hardest part. I struggle with it a lot. I still do. But the more you do this, the better you'll get at it. So you just have to kind of push through it. It's okay to have anxiety, but just know, acknowledge it, work through it, whatever you got to do, because you need to talk to people, you need to work with people, and you can't be a victim of your own anxiousness. Take control.
It's hard.
Yes.
It's one of the hardest things. And I think that even outside of just networking in the music industry, it's something that a lot of people of all ages struggle with. And understanding that really helps me. So
yeah, agreed.
Try to keep that in mind.
All right, cool. Well, let's break it down. Networking. We're going to talk about networking. We're going to go through. Let's start off with how it works. Why don't you break it down? Like, how does networking work in theory?
Basically, how it works is you meet a person, they like you, you like them, you keep in touch. And when you're looking for work, or they need a favor, or you need a favor, you have them in your contacts. That's it.
Yeah, it's pretty much a, you know, exchange. You help each other out, and it's pretty casual, even on a high level. And I think that's something that is cool about this, is if you establish it early on, you get good at it early on, it's going to travel with you. No matter what level of your career you're at, it's always going to benefit you. So the sooner you start doing it, the better. And you can't really rush it, right? It's like, that's why there's not really shortcuts. You have to meet people. You have to have time to grow the relationships. Yeah, I don't know if you have any, I know you already gave one really good example about your band getting a tour, but maybe you could talk about some crew you guys have hired or something like that and how it works out.
The first thing that kind of comes to mind when I think about a good example of networking is my guitar tech is one of my best friends. His name is Max. I actually met him because he used to sell me weed in Orlando. And so we kind of became friends because of that. And I would kind of go over to his house. I was like, oh shit, you play guitar? That's kind of cool. And then whenever his band was first starting, I think it was like in 2007, we were looking for a band to open up for us in Ocala. It was one of our hometown shows. And I hit up, or I think Alex hit up Max and was like, hey, would you guys want to come and play a show with us? And they came, played. It was awesome. And from then on, I kind of knew that he was really, really good at guitar. He was really good with guitar. We became really good friends. Fast forward to like 2014, some stuff was happening with his living situation. So I needed a roommate. He needed a place to live. He brought all of his guitars over here. So then our house became the guitar emporium of Winter Park. We probably had about 800 million guitars here. And because of that, I kind of learned how good he was at working on guitars, how good he was at working on amps, building tones. And because of that, fast forward again to like 2016, I lost my guitar tech. He went to become a chef at a restaurant in Jacksonville called Orsay. And I was like, hey, Max, can you fill in for this show? We're playing another hometown show. We're getting the key to the city of Ocala, which was kind of crazy.
That's crazy.
So it was kind of an important big deal, and we really needed someone that we could trust. And because of this trust that I had built with him through understanding his ability of him living with me and all of this stuff, I asked him to come in and fill in, and it was so good and he did so well that I asked him to be my full-time guitar tech. And since then, because of the network he kind of started creating with me, he's gone on to work with bands like Bad Religion, Pierce the Veil, tons of other major national acts just from becoming friends. Like, and when we were first starting, I Didn't Remember was doing really well, but it wasn't the band that we are today. Mm-hmm. And we just became friends because of common interests and common things, or things that we had in common. And it just, the genuine connection that we built from just being friends led to many opportunities for both of us. And I think that, I don't know if there is a better example of networking that I could think of in my life personally than that.
Yeah, that one's great because it shows that people want to get in this industry and there's so many different routes. And that's one of them. But they all revolve around networking. It's sometimes who you're friends with. It's sometimes who you've in your family. It's sometimes who you work with, who you know from a local gym. It's just so many avenues, and they all work. It's important who you know, but it's even more important kind of who knows you. And it's important that you knew Max in that situation. Like, it's good for him to know you, but if you didn't know about him, like, that wouldn't, it wouldn't matter.
And to be fair too, it's like him going on even further than A Day to Remember. Like, he met a sound tech for us who also worked for Bad Religion. And whenever Bad Religion didn't have a guitar tech, they're like, hey, I know this guy named Max. I met him on the A Day to Remember tour. And he got a job specifically, literally because him working and connecting with someone through having this job.
Yeah. That's great.
Pretty rad.
And I have, like, I'm a photographer, so my examples are a little bit different. But for me, it usually started out back when I was in high school. Like, I would shoot a show and I would just shoot it for fun, and I would turn the photos into somebody that worked there. And I met this guy named Brian when I was 15. And I sent him some photos at a show. And then, you know, next time he'd come through my area, I'd be like, hey, I see you're coming through with a band, Envy on the Coast. Can I come take some pictures? And he'd be like, yeah, my friend Adam, he takes pictures. And then after that, it was actually crazy. Brian took me on my first trip to Canada. We just drove up there and I photographed some bands for him a year later. And then after that, I honestly got stuck in New York and then hopped on my first tour in a van. And then I kept in touch with Brian. And 3 years later, he got me a shoot with Tiesto at Ultrafest because he was working with Tiesto. And then I did a photo shoot for Tiesto. And then I did Coachella. And then afterwards, he worked for Skizzy Mars and I toured with Skizzy Mars. And it was just like, that's just my path with meeting Brian and what Brian has done for me. And then all the people I met through Brian, you know, every one of these things, I meet other people. And it's just a big continuous chain or web, or it just spreads out as long as you're, I mean, navigating it well. If you're a dick, it doesn't work out. But if you're nice, it can work out.
Yeah, because then people, they know you, but they're like, yeah, that guy's kind of an asshole and you don't want to work with him. Yes. So it is insanely important to create these genuine connections with people, because not only are you connecting with these people, but these people are constantly connecting with other people. That is what the basis of this industry is. And so always putting out into the world what you hope to get back is like a really good practice, I feel like.
Put out the good vibes.
Especially in this industry, for sure.
Yeah, so that's kind of how it works and overview the process of it, we can go a little more in depth than that. And just a very basic thing that is good to remember throughout all this is it's not only what you are doing, but it's how you do it. And that's really important because it's, you know, you can meet people, you can get jobs, but how you go about doing them is very important and people notice. So be aware. And there's a right and a wrong way to do all these things. And this industry could be very tough. And that's why the theme of this podcast is don't shit on the bus, because it's one thing to go on somebody's bus and hang out. It's another thing to go on and shit on it. So make sure you're doing stuff the right way and you're respecting people and, you know, being, I don't know, being kind, reading the room.
Reading the room. Yeah, exactly. It's like you have to read the room. I think that's another thing too, is like in this industry, there is no like rule book.
Yeah.
There is no like,
you're totally right.
Hey, this is the only path to success. And you have to get really good at kind of reading the room, kind of taking in all these different things that are coming your way and kind of being malleable in certain situations, because, you know, there is no, hey, this works and hey, this doesn't work. Because to be completely honest, like you could come on our podcast and it would be a podcast and it would be a really fun experience. But then you could go on Johnny Christ's podcast, also just a podcast, and it would be a completely different experience. And unless you're able to read the room, those things aren't going to work out. You can't act the same way on this podcast as you do on that podcast and hope that people are going to respond the same way. It's just not going to work.
Yeah. Different tools, different situations. You can't bring a hammer and try to hit the screw in, you know, got to use the right tool.
Exactly.
All right. So the process starts by meeting somebody. And in the music industry, you meet people. It's a little different than like you were saying earlier, Neil, there's not like an office building you're going to. So where are the places you can meet somebody to kind of start these networks?
In this industry, I think you're more than likely going to either start at a concert, like a party, maybe through a friend, traveling, working, any of these places.
Yeah,
I think that you travel to work.
Yeah.
And you're hopefully working around friends at a concert and then going to an after party. So all of them, all the time.
Everything works.
Everything works.
It's basically everywhere you go, you need to be conscious of how you're acting, what you're saying. It can be stressful. It can be anxiety inducing, but just know that you're meeting people and these are people you could work with and you need to have, you know, you don't want to be the guy that goes to a party, gets drunk and makes a joke of himself because it just doesn't usually work out. Or maybe it does work out.
I've done it. Trust me. It's not as fun as it seems.
You're in the band. You're lucky. You don't get, you know, it's a little easier to keep your job. I fire myself.
I've been fired by myself many of times.
I remove myself from this situation.
It's like,
so if you meet these people, you know, honestly, you want to have a way to track or keep track of your people. And when you start out, it might only be a few names, right? It might be like 10 names or your local people. But as it grows, it's going to be hundreds, thousands of people that you need to keep track of. And you're going to have to keep, you know, their contact info, their name, their email. And I suggest keeping a note of how you met them, something, an ongoing list of, I usually keep it in my contact list, but some way to keep track of them. And honestly, Instagram is a pretty good way. It's a casual way. I think we talked about that. It's changed everything, right?
It really has. I mean, I think that like being like, hey, can I get your Instagram? And then once you have someone's Instagram, you kind of learn a lot about that person.
Yeah.
You learn their online persona. You have a direct form of contact with them.
That isn't too invasive, right?
I don't have to know them. They don't have to like know who my grandmother is or my middle name and shit to like write me on Instagram. It's completely cool.
Yeah. You're not like meeting somebody at a party and then Monday calling them up and be like, hey, it's Fred. How's it going? I met you at the party the other day. I just want to talk.
Yeah. I actually have anxiety about only getting someone's phone number and being like, do I text them yet? Or I definitely can't call them.
Yeah. Like, what do I do?
Should I FaceTime them? Send them a picture of my face? Maybe that's what I should start doing. Just sending people pictures of my face.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you remember meeting this guy?
Yeah. What up? This guy look familiar?
They're like, no, I wish I didn't meet you.
Yeah, but I mean, so you meet them, you get their info, you connect, whatever. There's some exchanging of something so that after you leave this situation, you can stay in touch. And then you got to keep in touch. You have to maintain that relationship with these people. Hit them up once in a while. Like you say, just hit them up on Instagram, check in, see what they're up to, how they're doing. It's just, you're honestly making, it's like a casual friendship, right? And if you really like them, I guess you could meet up, get coffee and whatnot. But
I mean, I think the best forms of networking are just friendships that happen to be through work or through some kind of shared interest or whatever. You know, I mean, I like some hobby, like I love photography in the beginning. That's how Gage and I became friends. Alex was friends with Gage. And then that's ultimately how you and I became friends.
Yeah. Photography
was kind of like trying to figure that whole thing out. And
Gage is their old photographer or their photographer they had when they were starting. It was a local guy.
Yep. And kind of through the interest of like taking pictures and cameras. cameras. I love gear. It doesn't matter what the gear is, as long as I can like have something and work on it and like hold it in my hands. Like I love that shit. So
yeah. So we connected
through that. Like we ultimately became friends with Adam, and ultimately Don't Shit on the Bus exists because of networking.
Yeah. So you're keeping in touch with people and then, you know, meet up when possible. And these relationships are a little different than, I don't know, Neil, like you and Max, like you live in the same area. You can kind of hang out whenever. It's a little weird when you meet somebody maybe at a show or they're traveling and you're like, well, how do I meet up with these people? They're in the touring world. And we kind of want to teach you the appropriate ways because you might not know how to read that room. You might not know, hey, you know, Stefan's coming through tour with a band on Thursday. I want to hang out with him, but I know he's working. Like, what are the appropriate ways to reach out to somebody on tour and hang out with them? You know, meet up with them, or maybe you know them barely at all, or you just follow them on Instagram. Like, you want to give some examples of what people on tour love?
I can tell you what they don't love, which will help you understand what they do
things
love.
Not
I
to
think,
do.
Yeah. Don't hit someone up day of the show and be like, at 5 o'clock, be like, hey, I want to get guest list. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? That will never work out well for you. A lot of times it will cause someone to be like, this person's kind of a dick.
That's a net negative and almost. You're actually hurting
even if
yourself.
If you don't understand what that means, the other people definitely have a feeling about it. Like, it's going to be a negative no matter what. Don't just hit me up for a guest list if you haven't talked to me in forever. I think that's why it's so important to keep in touch. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important to kind of have this kind of relationship outside of asking for things. You know,
asking
it's like
for favors.
Building this genuine connection. I mean, and because you are traveling a lot, I think like kind of reaching out in advance and being like, hey, I saw that you're going to be here on Thursday. I just wondering if you want to go grab coffee or ask if you can kind of do something for them. See if they need something.
Now, how can you help them out? How can you make their life easier?
Absolutely. It's everything.
Yeah. It's about figuring out what you can do for other people constantly. Like, how can you help them out? And then eventually people will help you out too. But the wrong way to go about it, we've talked about this before, is to figure out how everybody else can help you. So if you're meeting people and then you're asking for guest lists and you're saying you want to photograph a show, or, you know, you're asking for all these favors, like, that's kind of the incorrect way to network, and it's not going to go very well.
I don't want to do something for someone that's just looking to use me.
Yeah.
Ever. And I think that that's a easily understandable concept. I mean, if someone's hitting me up and just asking how I'm going and just genuinely caring and are interested in what I have to say, I really, like, it makes me excited to do things
yeah.
for them. It makes
you want
me,
to.
It makes me excited to keep in touch with them. And I know that that's like, and this is the other thing, is it's really hard. It's hard to keep in touch, mm-hmm. but it is something that you got to work on. It's something that you have to, you're not going to be the best at it. No one's the best at it. Mm-hmm. The people that are the best at it are like tour managers and shit. Like, they're good at everything. It's something you gotta work on, and you gotta constantly think about, and you gotta constantly be like, okay, oh, you know what? I'm just thinking about this person. I'll just shoot him a quick text, let him know, hey, I'm thinking about you. What's going on? Hope you're doing well. That means a lot.
And so let's say somebody's coming on through on tour and you know them, you've met them once or something, and you're like, hey, I see you in my area. Is there anything I can get for you? For example, like my friend Marvin came through San Diego one time and I was like, yo, do you guys need anything? He's like, yeah, we all love this coffee from this one place in San Diego. Can you go grab it for us? We need four. Here's the order. I was like, sure. Went and grabbed him a coffee, brought him to the show, hung out for 5 minutes. Not as long as I would hang out with a normal friend, but he's working. So, you know, I provided him something. We're friends. It's just like a good gesture. And it's kind of weird. I know we said this earlier. It's kind of weird to talk about this stuff, like do this because it's how you network. We're just saying do this because they're good things to do for people. And this is what you do. And you're not doing these things so other people help you out. You're doing them because it's just the right thing to do.
And a lot of times in our experience, they have worked out positively for us. I mean, I'm just saying, it's like, I think whenever I first started, you would just do things to be a nice person, but you wouldn't have expected that like years later, these things would kind of come full circle.
Yeah.
And let's say I'm in San Diego. We were there for a music video shoot. Oh, yeah. I hit you up and I was like, hey, Adam, we need to go get clothes for this music video shoot. We need to look like we're on a beach. And you're like, oh yeah, perfect. I know exactly where to take you and we can go get food. And you helped it. You hooked it up. Like, I think that that's the other thing too, is like something that seems small and insignificant to you. Like, hey, I'm going to go run to this place that's 5 minutes down the road from me, grab this for them. It really makes people's day when they're on tour, because touring is so hard, and the littlest things really brighten people's day. People remember those things. I know I can tell you probably not off the top of my head, because who's good at doing that? I can probably tell you like hundreds of things that people have kind of just come out of the woodwork and just done out of the goodness of their heart that I would be like, I would do anything for that person just because they brought me coffee or they thought about me or whatever. It's like,
it's nice.
You're making lifelong friends.
On tour, you're kind of in this like monotonous, weird world where, you know, you wake up, you eat food, you go to sound check, you play the show. And there's not a lot of things that you get to do that Neil would refer to as creature comforts. You don't get to do a lot of those things in that life. And when people bring it to you from the outer world, it's, they're super grateful for it. And I wasn't sure if we should touch on this or not, but I think it's a good place to kind of slide it in. Like if you've never toured before and you want to shadow somebody or understand what their job is like and they're coming through town, feel free to hit them up on Instagram or something. Just be like, hey, you're coming through town on this day. Can I shadow you for the day? I've never done this before. I just want to understand what it's like. And people might be open to it and just go to the show, shut up, follow them around, sit around and enjoy it.
If I was like, let's say a guitar tech for somebody and someone hit me up and they were like, hey, I want to come and talk to you about guitars all day. I'd be like, that's pretty cool. I love talking about guitars. Everybody else in my life is ready to never listen to me talk about guitars again. So if someone wanted to come and learn about guitars, I would be pretty excited to talk to them about guitars and show them little tips and tricks and kind of things like that. It's like, and obviously everyone's different. Obviously.
Yeah.
Don't be offended if someone is like, hey, I can't do it today because I have to do 75 restrings and I don't really have time to kind of cater to somebody else or teach today or whatever, you know, don't take it personally. I think that's something else that's kind of important.
And if you guys want help with shadowing people, I know it doesn't exist right now. We've got Corona, but when the world's back on, if you're part of our Patreon, we have a Discord. Feel free to kind of start a dialogue with us on there. We will happily connect you to crew or touring members if you have a good rapport with us. You know, you've been around for a little while and we trust you a little bit. We've talked to you. We will do our best to help you out along your path. So just let us know if you need some help. We are here to hopefully help people, you know, take the next step in their career. If you figure out what you want to do through this podcast, hopefully we can help you.
Well, like you said, too, it's kind of goes back to networking. So if we trust you, if a couple things check out and you feel like, hey, man, I can go out and recommend this person to go and shadow this person. If I can put my name behind them and say, hey, man, person's in your area. They've been kind of on the Discord. They've been reaching out, really been asking good questions, really hoping to build themselves as and get better in their trade. That's what networking is.
Yeah.
Being able to kind of put your name on someone and recommend them for something and stand behind it.
And that kind of leads us into our last point of how this works. So just to review, we talked about how to meet someone, how to get their contact info, keep in touch, then meet up with them when possible. And the last thing is you want to help them out. And I pretty feel like we already covered this, but basically if you hear of a job opening, recommend people, suggest them for jobs. And it's going to work both ways. Just like Neil said, when his guitar tech was done working for him, the sound guy they were touring with heard about a job for guitar tech and recommended Max. And that's really how it works. Nobody goes online and searches for like, we need a guitar tech. It's just only through word of mouth. And you got to get in. You got to prove that you're doing good work to your network and they will help you out just like you'll help them out. All right. Now that you guys kind of know how it all works, let's go over a few tips and tricks.
Tips and tricks.
All right. Just to reiterate, Neil, what is the most important part?
What is the most important part of
networking? Yes.
I think one of the most important things about networking is it's not only about what you do, but how you do it.
That leads us into our very important first tip and or trick.
One of the first tips that really should go without being said, but treat everyone equal. Treat people like people. Like never treat someone differently because of who they are or what they can do for you. Everyone deserves respect. You know, like you go out to eat, you're nice to the waiter. You're nice to the hostess. You just got to be nice to people. And ultimately, it will work out in your favor because people will return the favor. I could probably say favor more times if I tried, but it's unlikely.
And I think a good example of this is like, well, people know, obviously, don't be a dick to people. That's pretty straightforward. But something that goes around with that is like, treat people like people. That means don't treat them like weird either. And I think the thing we can both relate on, Neil, is when we meet people in this industry that we look up to, maybe we saw them on MTV all the time when we were kids or something. We meet them in real life and it's like, oh crap, do I treat them like this? Like I'm a fan? You want to talk with them, like across to them. You don't want to talk up to them, right? You want to talk to them as an equal, and that will make it so that they respond to you as an equal. They don't respond to you as a fan or something like that. So I don't know if you have a story of when you met somebody that like you looked up to and you got flustered and treated them weird and they treated you weird.
I mean, I've been pretty fortunate to not really, there's not many people that make me starstruck, but there's definitely certain people that do. When I'm like, for instance, when I met Mark Hoppus, I like talked to him as it, I'm like, I couldn't talk to him. I'm just like, I would like, he's like, why are you looking at me like that? You fucking weirdo. No, not really. But like, so like we met him every time I'm like, man, I gotta, he's funny. I'm funny. I want him to think I'm funny. I want him to like me. I'm going to tell a joke. And he's probably like, what is this guy saying the weirdest fucking jokes to me? Like, he can't just like respond to me like a human being. And like, I don't know if this is actually how he felt, but I mean, like eventually whenever like my mind kind of let me act like a human being, we actually kind of became friends. And like, he texts me for things that he needs as far as like, he's building a computer for his son. So he'll text me and kind of ask me for advice on stuff like that. And like what parts he should get. And
spoiler alert, if you are his son and listening to this podcast.
Oh no, this is already, he's already got
it. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, no. His son Jack is rad. Yeah, he built him a computer and kind of texted me for that kind of stuff. And we actually are able to kind of talk to each other now rather than it being super awkward because I just feel so some type of way. I don't really even know how else to put it. Like I looked up to him as a young kid and he made me want to get into playing in a band and he made kind of shaped my sense of humor and shaped me as a person. And so he doesn't know that, you know, like to him, I just am a Neil from A Day to Remember who he likes our band and he asked us to come on tour with him. So in his mind, we're equals, but like, I'm just some weirdo that keeps like just looking at him like, holy shit, is this the guy from that's naked on the MTV?
This oh my God. Guy.
Yeah. What? Hey, hi. He's like, please stop talking to me and looking at me weird. That all kind of goes back to anxiety too. Cause it's like all inside your head.
Yeah.
You're making up these scenarios and you're doing these things and all these people are just people. Like even up to the highest level, you could probably go meet Jeff Bezos and be like, man, he's really fucking smart, but he's just a person or maybe an alien. I don't know. Or a robot. The point is if you treat people how you would like to be treated, it's going to work out for you. Yeah. People are going to respond to you in the way that you hope to get responded to because they are all just people. I know that in certain situations, like if someone came to work for us and they're like, hey, let's take a picture together. I want to send it to my friend. And can you give me an autograph? It's like, that is just in my mind. I'm like, maybe this isn't going to work out because we're not going to be able to get into this level of respect that like, I need to be able to tell you what I need. And you need to be able to tell me what you can do for me based on the situations of the show. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's really going to get there. Yeah, so
you're not on the same wavelength, right? You have to be on the same wavelength.
You have to be. Yeah.
Can I tell a quick, really random Mark Hoppus story?
Please. Yeah.
One time I saw Mark Hoppus at this festival and he was watching All Time Low. And after they finished playing, you know how bands will throw like a guitar picks in the crowd or something? Mark Hoppus ran on stage and unplugged their tuner pedals and threw them into the crowd. Tuner pedals are not cheap. I don't think. I mean, you tell me. Are they a couple hundred dollars?
Yeah, it's like probably like $150.
He just threw it in the crowd.
It's not like easy to just, you have to like go get a new one.
It's pretty funny though. And that All Time Low was like, what? What just, what? It's funny.
See, when you're people like Mark Hoppus, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, because he's funny for a living. Speaking of throwing people's tuner pedals in the crowd, our next tip is don't be a dick.
Unless your personal brand kind of, you know.
Is that.
Like if you're Bam Margera from Jackass, like you're going to expect him to probably like do some weird prank or be a fucking weirdo around you because that's just who he is.
Yeah, that's just how he rolls.
And he's famous for that. You know, like you're not going to go get lunch with Johnny Knoxville and not expect him to probably like hit you in the nuts or something. I don't know. Like, you know, it's just like kind of par for the course.
Yeah. So don't be a dick. Don't be too cool for people. Like we said, treat everybody with respect, treat everybody equal. I can say that I would say there's a part of people's career that happens right after they get started when they get like a big uptick in fame or success. And it's kind of the time where they don't know how little they know yet. They haven't learned enough to realize how bad they are at their job and early on they are in their career and might get a little cocky. And I would say that I'm guilty of doing this maybe when I was like 17 or 18 and get a little carried away and you'll eventually check yourself, but hopefully don't embarrass yourself too bad. Just know that you shouldn't, you're never too cool for anybody. Everybody deserves your respect and time.
Absolutely. Basically, we kind of touched on this earlier, but it's so important that when you're recommending someone for a job, it's essentially going to directly reflect on you. So it's super important when you go ahead and like say, hey, Adam, I got a friend. He can assist for you. You said you're in Florida. They're into photography. I think that they could understand any kind of request that you'd want from them. When that person goes and works, how they are around Adam directly reflects on me. Like if the guy shows up drunk and or he's kind of a dickhead to Adam and he doesn't do any work or anything, Adam's going to hit me up and be like, yo, Neil, like,
what was that? And I won't trust
Neil, man. Like, that guy was like kind of more of a pain than he was a help. And now Adam's like, I'm not going to listen to Neil when it comes to any kind of.
Yeah. And then I won't trust Neil as much. And I've been in a situation, and it happens with guest list a lot. If I'm like, hey, band, put this person on a guest list, give them this pass. And if that person goes to the show and makes a fool of themselves, now my word is ruined. And that's everything in this industry. And the tip we're going over here is like, your recommendations directly reflect on you. So you're presenting somebody else with the privilege to work for somebody, get a chance to learn or be in a position that they couldn't be on their own, right? You're giving somebody your word and saying, this person should be in this situation. And when that person takes that situation and messes it up, maybe they get drunk and embarrass you, or they don't do their job correctly, or they say something they shouldn't, or disrespectful. It's okay to make mistakes. It's when you're actively doing something incorrectly that there's an issue. So just know, and your recommendations directly reflect on you, and vice versa. If somebody recommends you, you better be on your best behavior.
It's everything. I mean,
it's everything.
Like, literally, like, imagine if you're the person that goes and does that and you get the job and you are awesome. You know, you fucking kill it.
Yeah.
You work hard. You keep your head down. You're a cool guy to work with. You're nice to everybody. You say thank you when you leave. Like, whoever asks for that recommendation is going to call the person that they asked for it from and be like, hey man, thank you so much. And it's really going to elevate that person's status in their mind. Like, it's really going to make networking happen. Like, that is the definition of networking, you know, like kind of working together, building this network, this web of people that are trustworthy and respectful. And you know, you can put your name behind them and they can put their name behind you. And when you're not around, they're trustworthy. They're going to act like someone that, hey, that's my friend. I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
They want to be each other's biggest fan. All right, cool. Well, those are our tips and tricks. Next, we have a section called traps. And traps are the things that are easy to fall into, right? You might think it's the right thing to do, or it might feel okay. But in reality, in the music industry, it's not okay. And sometimes just in life, these things aren't okay.
I guess one of the first traps we've already talked about, but it is important enough to reiterate, don't treat people differently because of what they can do for you or who they are.
Yeah.
It's just not cool. And it never works out.
And I have actually, like, a lot of times when I say this, people, I think, go, oh, I'm going to treat this person less because they can't do much for me. And I'm going to treat this person better because they can. But I actually have a story where at my agency, we're trying to get a creative hired by an artist. And the artist had had an interaction with that person before that was so bad that they didn't want to work with them. And the interaction was, they took them out for dinner and they paid for them. And the creative didn't say thank you. And they treated the artist differently because they assumed that this artist had a lot of money. And therefore, the gesture of buying somebody dinner didn't warrant their thank you. And that's a situation where even if somebody's really well off, you still have to say thank you to them. So you have to be very aware of your actions because those little things matter and they'll get you jobs and they can be make or break because respect is a very big deal in the music industry.
I know, as someone who hires a ton of people for a ton of different things, we've hired someone for literally something as simple as being polite.
Yeah.
Saying thank you. Sometimes you don't recognize an opportunity before it presents itself to you. I mean, it's almost impossible a lot of times, you know, like let's say you're at dinner with somebody and maybe you're out to dinner with some of your friends and one of their friends owns an agency and his name is Adam Omakayas. You don't know him. You don't even know that you need to know him yet. And you're a dickhead. You're sitting at dinner. You're fucking talking shit about people. You're talking about things that, like, as a creative, you should never talk about. You're like exposing things that you just don't do. It's unprofessional. So later on, a week later, you find out, oh shit. Oh, I did meet this person. We went to dinner and you're like, hey man, I really want to be represented by your agency. I take pictures. Here's my work. You even see is their work and the work is like incredible. You're not going to hire them because they wouldn't represent your agency well because you met them without them knowing who you were.
Yeah.
And those things happen all the time.
Yeah. Like you have to like really operate from good values all the time. It's so important.
It's really, I think that is the key. It's like the golden rule of networking and life in general is be a good person.
Yeah.
Do unto others as you would hope to have them do unto you. And a lot of times just being that good person and doing those things without expecting anything in return, you never realize who is watching. You never understand.
We're watching
this,
you.
This, well, literally, this whole world is connected. And it may seem like a big world. It may seem like there's millions and billions of people. There's hundreds of thousands of people that work in the entertainment industry alone. But it really is a small, small world. And everyone does talk. It is all networking. And that is why it is so important. Other traps can be taking it too fast, communicating just wrong, inappropriately even.
So second trap we have is asking for favors, especially right away. It's good to ask for favors, but you reserve it for very special occasions. Don't ask people for guest lists every time they come through town. Don't ask them for guest lists to every show they're at. You want to reserve it for when you really need it. Most of the time you should be giving. And then when you really find a situation where like, hey, I just can't get into the show, or hey, I just really need this introduction to this person, then ask for a favor. But like, I don't know, like if you just meet somebody, you don't want to be like, hey, nice to meet you, John. By the way, can you get me into the show tonight? And just like, yeah, that's like an extreme example, but you got to have a relationship with these people.
It happens often.
Yeah. It's embarrassing.
You would be surprised how often that happens. It's like,
to you?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, God. Well, a lot of times I think that there is situations where it makes sense, right? Like you meet someone who is a waiter at a restaurant, they do a really good job, and they kind of are like, hey, don't want to be weird, but I'm a really big fan. Could we take a picture? And then
yeah,
I would offer them, be like, hey, man, I don't know if you're doing anything later. I want to get off work. If you want to come to the show. That'd be awesome. And be like, okay, cool. And then they're immediately like, hey, do you think that you could get my friend in as well? Like in that scenario, it kind of makes sense. Like asking someone,
they read the room,
for something,
right.
But it doesn't make sense every time. And I would say 95% of the time, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't work out, but that kind of goes back to reading the room and kind of utilizing like some of the different things that you've learned in this podcast specifically to know when to do these things, to avoid the traps, to not ask people for favors too quickly.
But in a way, you kind of, at the restaurant situation, you offered for them to come to the show first. And that's,
right,
I think a key part is if somebody in a position where they could get you in a show or do something to help you wants to, if they're good at networking and relationships, which they probably are, they will offer, they will do the, they will give. You don't need to ask for it. And that's why asking for favors is something you do very little amount of time, because if you have a good relationship with these people, you never really have to ask. When it's appropriate, they will offer.
Because in this industry, everyone is trying to network.
Yeah.
They are all trying to do things to help people because they understand that everything is very cyclical, which means that what goes around always comes back around. It's just the way of life. And it's like, and it's magnified in the music industry because the music industry is so small. It's like the little things you can do that are not that hard for you make a huge difference. Down the road, you don't know what you will need and who you will need it from. And the more you do that and the more good you put out in the world, I really truly believe that it will come back and help you. It's almost inevitable.
Another way to think of reading the room is communicating with somebody inappropriately. So like we said earlier, like you meet somebody, you don't call them up right away the next day. That would be inappropriate communicating. Another way to do it is reaching out to somebody on personal hours about something professional, whether it's a text message or, you know, like let's say, for example, if I want to, you know, ask somebody to hire me or I want to work with somebody, it's appropriate for me to send them an email. It might be appropriate for me to send them a message on Instagram, but it's not appropriate for me to text them at midnight. You know, like you need to know the right way to communicate with people. That's going to be different based on your situation, your relationship with the person you're reaching out to. And you need to correctly identify, is this a business? Is this a personal thing? You need to, those things matter because it shows that you respect that person.
Absolutely. You never know what someone else's situation is. You never know if a text message at midnight is going to look bad for somebody else, or if it's going to kind of wake them up, or they have a really
you respect
light
their time.
Sleep schedule or whatever. I mean, you know, whatever it is, you just avoid it. It will be better for you in the long run. I think another trap that's kind of goes back to just being a good person, but promising too much and really coming through and delivering too little. Like it is very important to be a person of your word.
Yeah.
To, hey, I have these skills. And sometimes I've heard this a lot, actually, like people are like, oh, you got to fake it till you make it. And it really doesn't work that way in this industry, especially from the side of like getting jobs. It's like, if I have a really good example for this specifically, but we were going to South America and we really needed a guitar tech. And our friend, who was the guitar tech he was the tour manager of the Offspring at the time, he recommended this person. He said, hey, I have this guitar tech. He's kind of new, but he promised that he can come in. He knows all of your setup. You don't really have to worry about anything. He'll show up, do the show, no big deal. He got there. He didn't even know how to work a guitar tuner, which is, I think a fundamental. It's like when you're learning to play guitar, it's like one of the first things that you kind of learn. You know, you plug the guitar in and you tune it, and then you can start playing guitar. He didn't know how to work that. He, like, the first day we are at a radio festival, which is a huge deal. It was a huge deal for our band because we really wanted to impress this radio station in hopes that they would play our song, you know, on the radio. And we get there, and he comes to me and he's like, "Hey, Neil, don't want to bother you, but how do you work this?" And he points at the guitar tuner. I'm like, immediately, I'm just like, this guy's supposed to come in and know what he's fucking doing.
Please go home now. Please leave.
Yeah. And it's like, we leave for South America tomorrow. I'm like, all right, you know, it's fine. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, fuck, I'm going to have to be a guitar tech and a guitar player and have this guy help me be a guitar tech. I don't have time to teach him how to be a guitar tech. We leave for South America tomorrow. He promised way too much.
Yeah.
He knew nothing and he fucked me. And because of that.
Yeah. What are the repercussions of that? Like, walk everybody through like the things that happen, not only the direct repercussions of, hey, now you don't have a guitar tech, but what else?
There's so many repercussions for this. So like, for instance, he puts himself in a position to where he comes in, he doesn't know anything about guitar. Essentially, it ruins his reputation because now anyone who asks me, hey, what do you think about this guy as a guitar tech? I'm gonna be like, that guy does not know anything about guitars. And I'm going to tell him this story about he didn't even plug in the guitar tuner.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of ruins his reputation as a guitar tech. I'm going to then immediately call the tour manager, a friend of ours, and be like, what the fuck, man? You literally sent us to South America with a guy who didn't know how to plug in a guitar. And I'm going to immediately be like, what did I do to you for you to recommend this person to me? And
why did you curse me like this?
It's networking the worst of the worst of the worst. And it kind of all goes back to him promising too much to the guy. And then the guy putting his name and recommending him to us and then getting his reputation kind of tarnished because of this scenario. And I think it all could have been avoided if the guy just was honest about his skills. And it kind of leads us into our next point, which is you can't take shortcuts. You can't just jump up levels and tell people you're better at something than you are.
I mean, you can, but this is what happens.
Yeah, it's not good. It never ends up well. I have not had any situation in my life where I've taken shortcuts in a career or like in social situations that have ended well. I mean, most of the time when you do those shortcuts, you're not supposed to be in that place yet.
Yeah.
Because you haven't earned that recognition or that ability to be there and utilize it correctly. It's just never going to work out well.
And I kind of parallel it to bands who take shortcuts. And I think about the other benefit of not taking a shortcut is you build up this community and this network and this support system that allows you to not really fall off, to not really find yourself out of work or in a tough place between a hard place and a rock. And I use an example of like, I don't know, think of a band like 303, great band, right? But they kind of got really big, really fast. And when that happens, you can fall off really quickly because you don't have these enfranchised fans who support you and are connected with you on a deeper level, so that when you maybe don't have a big hit song, they're there to support you.
Absolutely.
And no hate to 303. I was just trying to use it as a recommendation. And that happens in this world as well. If you jump up really high and you don't have anybody to support you, and then you do something wrong, like, you might find yourself unemployed or in a worse place than when you started. So it's good to kind of start slow, network, meet people, and don't force things. Don't ask for too many favors. Just take it slow. Let it happen.
Well, I think you used that example perfectly because think about like during COVID. When COVID hit, everyone in the music industry kind of lost their livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that were able to kind of use their networking and kind of work with, like, for example, our production manager, his name's Paul Binder. He has been in this industry for years. He works for massive acts. He has been with us for about 2 years.
He's awesome.
And he's awesome. He's like one of the best guys ever. He was able to kind of use his connections and use the things that he's built up over time, his network, to kind of pivot. And now he's the head of artist relations at a massive gear company where he's kind of using the people that he knows to help promote these products. He's kind of the perfect person for this position because he's worked in the industry for so long. He knows the gear. He's able to sell it to people and get it in the hands of people that are able to promote it for him.
That's great.
And so he looks good to his new boss, and as well as getting this really great gear in the hands of his friends that he's utilized and made contacts with over the many years of him being in the industry. It's kind of a perfect example of networking and being able to pivot and utilizing the said network when times get tough, because like this has proven, you never know. Like, this industry is very, has many, many ups and downs.
It's crazy.
Many, many things that are unpredictable.
And like, I just want to add in a little side note here is, if you'll notice when Neil's telling stories, he's omitting people's names when it's a less than ideal situation. When it's a positive situation, he is calling them by name, and that is intentional. And I don't know if it's the same across industries, but generally you don't call somebody out publicly for their shortcomings because you don't want to ruin their future chances of anything. It may be in private. Like Neil said, if somebody asks him how he did in work, he'll tell somebody privately, but it's never something we're going to come out and call somebody out for publicly because it's just really not appropriate and it's not how it works. You know,
it's not good networking.
No, it's not good. So that's, I guess it falls in like gossip, and it's just, you know, you want people to, we want people to improve and get better, and to publicly call them out is just not really how it works.
And it does work that way. It's just whack. And people that do that are lame. So just don't do that shit. It's fucking dumb.
All right, Neil, I've got some real life situation quizzes for you. And I know you've had a practice round, but we're going to try it again.
I actually forgot completely, and I'm really excited about this.
Neil, situation number one. Let's put all the skills to the test. You are a local sound. You're at a venue, local venue. You're the sound guy. You do the sound, front of house. Band comes in. It's a touring band. You don't know them, but they're coming in. You have an idea of how you want to do their mix, and they do a live show and the show sounds great, and they hear about how great it sounds, and they come to you and they're like, Neil, that was you did a great job. They don't know your name. So they say, what's your name, sir? And you say, Neil. And they're like, shake your hand. They're like, Neil, that was a great job. Well done. What is the right way to respond to this?
I think the right way to respond is just to thank them, you know, thank you for the compliment. You know, give them a compliment in return. Be like, it was an honor to get to mix you guys. You did really well tonight. You kind of made my job easy. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed working with you, and kind of exchange information and be like, you know, if you guys ever need a sound guy, this is my Instagram. Feel free to hit me up. If you have any questions about sound or whatever, I'd love to help you out, and kind of offer your services to them.
No, that's great. And you treated them normal. I think that's the thing that like we know to do, but people might not always know to do. Like you weren't, I mean, maybe that'll go in the, you know, the other question is, what's the wrong way? I guess you could highlight that.
The wrong way is, hey, I have a bag packed out in the car. Can I hop in the van with you and let's do the rest of this motherfucking tour together?
Let's take over the world, buddy.
Woo!
Yeah, like you can't.
Hey, do you guys need a photographer? Because I'm doing good at sound, but I'd like to get into that shit.
I was taking pictures of you in the dressing room. You didn't know.
Listen to this mix I made of your band and put on SoundCloud. sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yes.
That may be bad.
Good examples. All right. Next one. Situation number two. All right. You're on tour with a band you really like, Blink-182. Okay. This is like a real situation. Headlining band. It's day three of the tour. You haven't really hung out with them yet. You know, you do your show, you go to the dressing room. They do their show, they go to the dressing room. You don't really see each other. But third day, Mark Hobbs, Travis Barker, they come in your dressing room. They're like, hey, what's up, Neil? How's it going?
Yeah.
What are some things you can do wrong in this situation? Like, how do you respond? The wrong first.
What? So they come in your room. Mm-hmm. You immediately ask them for something. Be like, hey, so, you know, I wish we could have more time for sound check. It really isn't working out, like whatever's happening with, you know, like you guys get done early every day and we notice that you get done early. Could we just go up and use your stuff and then like sound check on your stuff right when you're done? Is that cool?
Yeah, just something totally like you basically went to something
professional. Can I play a song with you guys tomorrow tomorrow on your stage during your show with you guys? And then we can kiss?
Yeah. Why do you want to kiss them? What's going on here? He probably would kiss you.
Why not?
That's a fair question. That's a fair answer. I guess why not?
No, I don't know.
What are things you can
do? Yeah, there's like so many things. Like obviously this is like our personal space. This is a time that is like kind of, it's like, hey, you're coming to meet this band. They're on tour with you. There's so many things you could do wrong. Like you'd be like, hey, you guys aren't really paying us enough on this tour. Could you pay us more?
Yeah, you bring business like, into social basically is a lot of a lot of this category is like, hey, you talk about serious things in a casual setting when these people are coming to say hey to you in your dressing room. Like, all right. So the things you can do right, I guess.
Could we play after you guys? Cause, we're selling like way more merch than you are.
Let us go after.
Saying some fucked up shit. You know, I guess some of the right things to do is just like we said, these are people that do the same things that you do. Mm-hmm. They have very similar interests. Just talk to them, you know, kind of like ask them how their day was. Just be a person, like make jokes, read the room.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to kind of, like, for instance, when we were on tour with Blink-182.
The theme of this episode is things we did with Blink-182. It's we've talked about
the whole entire tour happened through networking.
Yeah.
Legitimately. Like, I met my wife because Kevin networked with Travis Barker, and then we networked with Blink-182, and they liked us, and then we had a tour together, and now I'm having a child. Yeah. No, so I guess some of the things that would be great to do in that scenario, like, we both like going and catching Pokemon, which is kind of weird, and you wouldn't expect two of some of the biggest rock bands in the world to be into Pokemon, but we are, and we like doing that kind of stuff together, and just finding, like, common interests, and then being normal, not making them feel weird, not doing things that you wouldn't do with your friends. That's what they ultimately are. You want to treat them as if they could become a friend of yours, you know?
And I know we're talking about situations that you guys will never be in to an extent, right? You're not a band member and you're not meeting another band member as a band member, but you might meet a band member as a crew member, or maybe you're shadowing somebody for the day. And it's just a good thing to keep in mind, like, these people go through life interacting with people on a fan to artist relationship and a boss to employee relationship, but they don't have a lot of friend relationships. So when you meet somebody, just be nice. Just all you have to do. You don't have to treat them like anything different. And this goes along with meeting a manager or meeting somebody else that you look up to, whether it be a guitar tech or a drum tech or in your line of work. Whatever it is, you just need to treat these people normal. And you don't want to, we call it punishing, but you don't want to ask them questions that aren't meant for the situation you're in. So if you're in a social situation, you don't want to punish them and ask them business questions. If you're in a business situation, you don't want to bring out the bottles of whiskey. You know, it's like, you got to really read the room and be respectful of other people.
Unless you're with Johnny Christ, and then you can bring out the bottles of whiskey.
Yes.
Because it ultimately is about reading the room.
Yes.
I mean, I
it's
think
it's different for everything.
It is. And the other thing is like, it's really important on a crew member to a band member relationship to kind of, in those situations, like, even if you are friends, or let's say you have come into this situation, that you take those moments and treat them professionally.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
wait, what
you
moments?
Have to. If you are in a social situation, or if you okay. are coming into a dressing room, and hey, let's say Max is, he got the job because we're friends.
Yeah.
If he comes in and in that moment, like, he's not going to be like, yo, fuck you, man. Fuck that. The show is whack. You're stupid.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's like, he's got to be professional. And no matter how you come into whatever scenario it is, you kind of have to treat it professionally.
Yeah.
And there is a time and there is a place. And I think it ultimately goes back to just reading the room and being like, okay, we're off work. We can joke around. We can talk, whatever. We're working. We're going to treat it professionally, even though we are friends or even though whatever. Ultimately, the job is why you are there most times.
And people aren't going to tell you how to do your job on tour or anything like that. You're just going to get fired. So
hopefully this will help that not be the case.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we finished. We're in the section called conclusion. In conclusion, let's bullet point the most important things we learned today. Reading the room. You go.
Be nice to people. Treat them how you would like to be treated.
It's not just what you do, it's how you do it.
Do more for others and expect nothing.
Yes. Help them when possible.
Yes. Little things matter, especially in networking. It's like things that don't seem that important to you. Like, if you can drive 5 minutes and get a coffee, it could make someone's day. Like, the little things are everything.
Anxiety is stupid.
Anxiety is the stupidest, most stupid. Oh, don't shit on the bus.
Don't shit on the bus. That's great.
I have been Neil and will always be Neil Westfall.
And I have been Adam Elmachias this whole damn time. We will catch you next week on
Don't Shit on the Bus, brought to you by Apple Music.
All right, later, guys. Peace.